Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Chris James.
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
And I'm Chris James.
And again, we welcome you to our series of Fear Not that we're doing together with our producer, who is also very good in the Bible. And I am so thankful, Chris, that you have joined us because it's so much fun to work with you. Did you know that?
It's my pleasure.
Well, good. I am glad you're enjoying it as much as I am. And I love this series, Fear Not. Today, we're doing Fear Not Forgiveness. Why would anybody fear forgiveness? I'm going to start by telling everybody something very personal.
That's a good way to start.
Yeah? You like me to be vulnerable, Chris?
Absolutely.
So I'm just going to take you
up
on
this. I won't make too fun of you.
Okay. No. Actually, this was a serious situation. And I was getting married with my husband, and somebody decided that they didn't want us to get married. You know,
this wasn't your mother-in-law, was it?
No.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
Or my mother. And this person decided to just write me letters and cards and just make my life impossible, telling me that
wow.
They would never accept my husband, that I should not get married. And I mean, I still
was this somebody that was close to you,
or yes.
So it did matter. Okay.
I mean, it was supposed to matter until I decided I have to ignore this because it's going to ruin my life.
Right.
And then I had to make a decision because I would have to live with this person for the rest of my mm-hmm. life because they were kind of in my circle.
Right.
And I had two choices, either to forgive them or hate them for the rest of my life because, wow. You know, what other choice do you have?
Yeah.
And I asked God to just let me ignore this person in a good way so that I could forgive them and move on. And, you know, now they come to my house. Now we have parties together and all of that. And I just can't believe that 15 years ago, this person was so vicious in yeah. the way that they, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something that sets you free when you decide to forgive.
Do they fear that your forgiveness is not real? Or
no, they never
it?
Talk okay. to me about it.
Oh, yeah, that's probably best.
Yes. Well, you know, I think that it's important to know that when we forgive, we set ourselves free.
Yeah.
I think that's very important. But sometimes you're forgiven and you're not sure, you don't forgive yourself or you don't know if it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And something like that happened to Joseph Brothers.
Yeah.
You like Joseph's story?
You know, every kid knows Joseph's story. I mean, I think it's taught. I mean, Hollywood loves Joseph's story.
Yes,
I mean,
plays.
It's, you know, it's been all over the, you know, the place because it is such a story of like, you know, from nothing to like, you know, the king. It's every kid's dream.
Yeah, it's like,
you
it's
know?
This like it's, the impossible dream.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Something like that. But what catches your attention the most on Joseph's story at the beginning?
I mean, his family was a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, a mess. I mean, you know, his father had multiple wives and that whole thing starting out. And then the jealousies. I mean, in chapter 37 of Genesis, I mean, I think it says his brothers hated him like four times. I mean, maybe probably more. It's
yeah.
just like, and his brothers hated him. And his brothers hated him.
Yes,
it's like, wow,
you know,
what a way to grow up.
I love the way that you're bringing this up because sometimes we think that all the people that are called by God are very functional in their family. But every family in the Bible is dysfunctional. I mean, you cannot find one family that is not dysfunctional. Not even Jesus, because his brothers and his mother kept trying to talk him out of his calling.
And, you know, I think God made it that way on purpose so that way we could actually relate, because if they were like
perfect,
we'd be like, yeah, well, of course they're good, because you know it's
well, you're absolutely right. In Genesis 37 it says that Joseph, I'm going to read in verse 3, Israel loved Joseph, Israel being Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a very collared tunic, and it says that his brothers could not even talk to him in friendly terms. And as you say, many times during this story, we're going to see how much they hated him to the point where they actually sell him into slavery.
Yeah, and they actually wanted to kill him.
Yes.
But one of his brothers said, no, don't do that. Let's just sell him. Let's get rid of him, you know?
And this is something that we can't even imagine in a family. But we are told in verse 28 that some Midianite traders were passing by where the brothers got a hold of Joseph. And they sold him for 20 shekels of silver. And they did something terrible in verse 31. They took Joseph's tunic and they slaughtered a male goat and dipped the tunic in blood and went to Jacob and said, your son is dead.
Yeah, I said, here, take a look.
Yes.
You remember that coat that you made him, that really nice one? Do you recognize it?
Yes.
Because this is it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Isn't it, I mean, cold-hearted, huh?
It's very cold-hearted.
I mean, you have to really come to a point where you don't care about your father's feeling, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's like clearly that hate grew.
Yes.
And that's why that's mentioned so many times. I mean, they must have really hated Joseph
yeah.
in order to, like, do something so severe to your father.
Yeah. Has that ever happened to you, that you have a little feeling and then he grows and then he grows and then it's like a monster that takes over your life?
There's times when that happens, but usually I
try to deal with it.
I tend to scream and get it out first. So
well, that's
I'm one of those screamers versus one of the ones that hold it in and you know, the silent type.
I when I had my previous career in psychology, I learned that feelings have to be dealt with when they're small, because when they grow, they are monsters that control you. And in this case, you know, it's very interesting because Jacob means deceiver, but his sons deceive him, which is the deceiver is deceived because that was the currency at home. They learn deceit, and they come and they tell him, your son is dead, and for the rest of most of his life he will mourn over Joseph.
Yeah.
Then, you know, the end of the story, this is the longest, by the way, story of one person in all of the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible. All the way to the end of Genesis, finally, they have to go to Egypt because they need food, and most of you know the story. They have no idea who Joseph is by then. I mean, Joseph now is only second to Pharaoh.
Yep.
And I mean, what would you have done if you were in Joseph's place?
You know, I'd like to think that I would forgive them, but... You know, that without being in the shoes, I don't think any of us can actually say what we would have done or wouldn't have done, because that's a pretty horrible thing to have happen to you.
Yeah. And I mean, not just that he was sold.
No.
He became a slave.
Exactly.
And then he went to prison.
And I mean, the whole story is just unbelievable. If it wasn't like written down as true, you'd think it was something Hollywood just made up.
Yes, exactly. I mean, every time I imagine Joseph saying, okay, so what else can go wrong? And then you get the next chapter. And so this can go wrong. Eventually, God brings him to Pharaoh, and you know the dreams, and he interprets the dreams. He's placed in a position of authority. But then his brothers are... we have this awesome happy ending in chapter 46 where he reveals that he's their brother and kisses them and they hug and all of that. And you would think the story is done, right? I mean, they're forgiven.
That's usually where we end it, yeah.
Yes, because we say, well, they were forgiven. Woohoo! Mm-hmm. We move on.
They were saved from the famine, you know,
exactly.
All as well.
And they live happily ever after.
Yeah.
But we get another chapter at the end of Genesis when Jacob dies, the father of Joseph and all his brothers. And now they are afraid that Joseph's forgiveness will come short, because maybe he forgave them while their father was alive, but maybe now he wants to, you know, to change his mind. So why don't we read that, Chris, on chapter 50, starting on verse 12. This is at the end of Genesis. It's very interesting. Most people don't know this.
Yeah. Starting in verse 12, it says, so Jacob's sons did as he had commanded them. They carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre, which Abraham had bought as a burial place from Ephron the Hittite, along with the field. After burying his father, Joseph returned to Egypt together with his brothers and all the others who had gone with him to bury his fathers.
And then they start wondering what's going to happen now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe our luck has run out. Continue to verse 15. This is
when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?
Yes, I can imagine a lot of people saying right now, you know, we all have been forgiven of so many things. But in this case, they become afraid that the forgiveness that Joseph has given was only for a period of time. And I think sometimes we are with God that way. We think, okay, maybe he forgave me for that first time, but maybe he cannot forgive me for the second
time. And we might think that it's gotten so big and so huge, our sin, that really it's not forgivable. Because, I mean, when you go on down farther, they actually go back to Joseph and they say, hey, look it. We throw themselves down in front of him and said, we are your slaves. I mean, that's how scared they were. And that also reminds me of the story that Christ told in the New Testament about the prodigal son.
Yeah.
When he comes back to his father and says, hey, just make me your slave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've done something bad.
Exactly. And Joseph acts like Jesus would. I mean, Joseph not only embraces them, but he says that he wept when they spoke to him this way. Like,
not be afraid.
And Joseph goes on verse 19, do not be afraid. Am I in God's place? For what you meant for evil against me, God meant it for good, I love those buts. But God meant it for good. God was able to turn your bad into good. So don't be afraid that I'm going to turn against. Actually, we have do not be afraid several times in three verses. And I think they eventually believed him. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Why are we afraid of God? Like God's forgiveness cannot reach us if we go past the limit.
I think it just comes from, you know, the fact that we're separated on this earth from God.
Mm.
And there's such a wide gap, and we see the closer we get to God, how far a gap it is.
Yeah.
And how can we ever, you know, close that gap?
Yeah, and that's why the cross comes into play so importantly, because God's heart and his forgiveness was shown to us on the cross. So any time that we think, okay, maybe I went too far, maybe he cannot forgive this, and we're afraid that God cannot forgive.
Yeah.
We can remember this story of Joseph, and of course Joseph, like all the very important people of the Old Testament, are symbols or foreshadows, we call them, of Christ himself.
Absolutely.
Because they teach us something about the Christ that was to come.
Well, and what I find like really interesting is that, you know, he's saying, look, I forgive you. And all of this, all that you did to me, I forgive you because God meant it for good. Just like on the cross, Jesus said, hey, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they have done.
They don't know what. See, even when he's dying, he's uttering forgiveness right at the very moment. And, you know, I'm always amazed that later on in the last book of the Bible, we find a sentence from the story of Joseph again. But in this time, on the second coming, we are told in Revelation chapter 19 what Jesus will be wearing in the second coming. And it says, chapter 19, verse 13 of Revelation, he's clothed with a robe dipped in blood. But this was not a little animal like in the story of Joseph.
No, it wasn't a goat.
No, this is his own blood to remind us the price he paid for our forgiveness so that we never have to be afraid of forgiveness again. I mean, doesn't that fill your heart with peace?
That is just amazing. I mean, it just blows my mind how awesome God is, that we never have to be afraid. We never have to fear again because he's paid the price. He's done it. He lived and died, and we're forgiven and we are set free.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101 Media. Until next time, live free.
Woohoo!
Plug into life.
Welcome to Plug into Life, where you connect with the source.
Do you know why sometimes it seems like our life smells bad, even stinks? Because we accumulate a lot of trash in the basement and we think that because it is out of sight, it is out of reach. But it is not so. Shame about the past, anxiety about the future, secrecy and guilt, this just pile up until our life becomes unmanageable and it feels like we are dying. That's why God offers an incredible gift. He takes the trash and you start afresh. Listen to it. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Romans 6:23. Don't you want to start fresh with a sense of wholeness and assurance? Then accept the gift God has for you. Woohoo!
For more insights and resources, plug into Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv.